Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness openly there's no creator, Lord, Rob, Lord of all the worlds, worthy of worship, except one Allah, one God, the God, the creator of everything. And we witness that Prophet Muhammad is his slave servant and messenger. Dear listeners, welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We want to have a very serious discussion about Allah's creation being created for justice. In the Quran, it talks about Allah has not created this earth, this universe, in sport and play, or for sport and play. That is created for justice, that every soul, every created being can have its purpose realized. Allah has created it for justice. And we also want to tie that into the concept of destiny, divine providence, as some might say, but in Islam, in El Islam, it's called Allah's Qadr, He has preordained, pre-established in control of everything. It's already written. As one of the hadith said, the pages, the pen has been lifted and the pages is dry. And when we make dua, we hope to petition our Lord to change our situation to be better and better, and maybe pray that we don't be destined to doom. So we want to talk about that in light of, and I picked this topic because of the injustices that we see in the world today, and how our fellow citizens can turn a blind eye to the suffering masses that may not look like them or may not identify with their theology or their ideas. I don't want to go into finger pointing, because there's enough blame to go around. There's a saying, when you point your finger at someone, three fingers are pointing back at you. You know, so once we start to damning everyone, you know, we are definitely stand blame worthy ourselves in many instances. But we do want to focus on Allah's Qadr, his control over this universe, and how we are just citizens, servants on this planet, trying to do God's will. So welcome again to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. I'm your host, Delacy Umar. We have with us Professor Rabbani Muhammad and our standby and always associate, Michael Hameen, engineering and making contributions to this program. So we welcome you all. Program is where we examine how the religion of Al-Islam and its concepts and principles help us to have a progressive, productive life and meet the challenges that dynamism and diversity in this Western culture presents to us, how Al-Islam can strengthen our resolve, character, strength, energy, mental capacity, et cetera, to meet the challenges. And that's what Allah revealed the Holy Quran for, to equip the human being. You know, there's a verse in the Quran where Allah says that the Quran was revealed for mankind, for human beings, not just the Muslim, for every human being. And Nas is called the people. And it was revealed to guide them, to give them guidance, clear guidance as to what is right and what is wrong, and distinguish, it's called a distinguisher. It distinguishes what is guidance from what is not guidance. So Allah revealed the Quran for the mercy, out of his mercy, to the human beings, the human family, that we may have something to judge by. So, and in this wonderful book, Allah talks about justice and how the world has been created for justice. So we're going to get now, after that brief introduction, we're going to go to our usual process and invite our Professor Rabbani Muhammad to share some comments and thoughts with us that he might have on this topic, and then we will circle back to our co-host and associate, Michael Hameen, for some comments. So, Professor, please, salam alaikum to you and to you, Brother Michael, as well. And, Professor, please share with us some comments, if you will.
Assalamu alaikum. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that there is no God worthy of worship, and there is no deity worthy of worship, except the one who created the heavens and the earth and all that's in between. and created the most excellent creation is the human being. And we thank Allah for our prophet Muhammad and his messenger and servant, Muhammad the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. May the prayers and peace be upon him, his family and companions, and all of us who follow in his footsteps. And we thank Allah for our leadership in America, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Professor Farad Muhammad, and Sister Clara Muhammad. May Allah forgive us all of our misgivings and our faults and mistakes and grant us the highest level of paradise. Amen. The contributions of what Allah gave guidance for mankind through Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, his effect is being felt for all time in this in the life of mankind, even to this day. And all of the contributions and all of the great discoveries have come from man engaging his mind into the creation and in himself to bring about new discoveries and new knowledge that he didn't know before. And this came only when Quran came to Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. And at that time, throughout the whole world, the sciences were dead. And it was dead to the common people. A lot of the people who had special privileges were the ones that were given the education and held the education and kept it to themselves and their families. But Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, came with the Quran, and the Quran was received by the poor, downtrodden, the orphans, the widows. All of the was laid open, and there are great examples in history how it was the Quran that resurrected the dark ages of Europe and gave hope and freedom to people. And when people talk about al-Islam, they think about somebody is being put under an oppressive rule. No, there's no, in al-Islam, it is a primary edict that religious freedom is the first thing that is being promoted. There's no compulsion in religion. Truth is evidently clear from falsehood. And we don't have priests and a priesthood that would keep all of the knowledge to themselves and not share it with the common man. And then we see the common man rising up from the doldrums of the society and make exceptional contributions. And this was done between the 7th century and the 8th century. And in 100 years or so, we saw great contributions made to the advancement of mankind through the efforts of the Quran and the those who followed the Quran and shared it with everyone, whether it be Christians or Jews and other, and people of the book who worshiped one God. Those were the ones that benefited and helped grow the world's better conditions and contributed to a better life of mankind. So I'll just stop it there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Professor, for those comments. We appreciate it very much. Michael, how are you? And let me just mention, I'm at the conference here. We broadcasting from Orlando, Florida at the National Shura Conference meeting. It's going on as we speak here. there will be updates coming periodically concerning the conference. So it's this weekend of the 20th to the 22nd. We'll be here in Orlando presenting. We're presenting our business model as well as looking at other business models from around the country. So, Michael, please share with us some thoughts on justice and fairness, fair dealing, and as it's given it up to us in Scripture and in our traditions of our religious practice.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum to all. I really appreciate the way you started this conversation, this dialogue off. In terms of the language that you use, and we find that language is very challenging in terms of our understanding ourselves as well as understanding the human family and relationships with one another and with the creation that Almighty God has brought into being. Idea, the poetic language, you know, the pen has written and the pages have dried. This is a language, but that type of language can throw us off. Almighty God, highly glorified is he, started creation, brought creation into being from nothingness. And it was not without intent, with intention, the purpose, aim, a trajectory. And language is such, the discipline, nature of written language in contrast to the spoken word is significant. So when God speaks about the pen writing, it doesn't mean that that we are absent from human dynamics. The human history shows that man is moving from what God says, you know, really not much, into becoming more and more significant in the role that the Creator created for the human being. Excuse me. We have the dynamic, the human dynamic of choice, making choices. And we see how that operates in terms of the worst coming out of us and the best. But the intention is, the intention is clear in Scripture where the Creator is taking us. We're going from weakness to strength, from simple to complex, and so on and so on. We see this in man's history. And the power of choice is still there and dynamic in terms of the example of what's taking place in Palestine, Israel. These kinds of man's inhumanity to man, following that, the intent of that is for us to see a better way, a way that the Creator intends, but he's not forcing his will. He's allowing his will and intent to come out of these interactions, to come out of the bloodshed, to come out of the disrespect for our common humanity, that these, you know, we know how loss affects us and it sobers us up, whether it be in sports or in the loss of loved ones, the loss of life, or the loss of the utility of life, you know, mobility and so forth. So we're in a dynamic movement towards the will and plan of Almighty God for his world and for the people in the world. And I'll stop there. Are you on mute, Imam?
Yes. Sorry about that. I had a brief interruption. Go ahead, Professor Rabin. Let's take a break at this point for PSA. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Okay, we're back. Thank you, Michael, for those PSAs. We want to explore this topic a little bit more from the perspective of how Allah's creation is structured. You know, we have in our own thinking, we call it the power of the concept of if what you reap, what you sow, karma, I think is another word used. What goes around comes around. That, but we see that in a different light. We see that as being clocked into the creation, the law of reward and punishment. You are rewarded for good that you do, and if you disrespect the laws, the rules that Allah has created in nature, you will receive some disappointments. You will receive some disappointments. You know, I was reminded when we had the COVID-19 outbreak, and they actually took the roads, and people were staying at home. The scientists observed that the earth itself started to repair itself. The oceans were cleaning up, the skies, the pollution in cities such as Los Angeles and in China, where they had very, very high air pollution standards, began to clear up soon as their human influence was taken out of the equation for contaminants and et cetera, et cetera. So the earth began to heal itself, which is a sign that Allah's creation has in it its own potential for progress. So we want to be aware that the human concern, if it's deviant from the way our Creator wants us to behave, is a detriment to sometime ourselves and the planet itself. So, Professor, elaborate a little more on these concepts that we are talking about. Allah has created the earth for justice, for just balance, for just ends. Please share some comments.
Yes. And we know that when we talk about Allah has created the earth for just ends, just means this is in everything. When we look at justice, there's a word that I always use to coordinate and to collaborate with, and that's balance. Balance. When the Quran was revealed, the Quran excited the thinking of the believers and brought clarity to not only the individual person, because when you look at the human being, it's the human being's design. Our design is based upon balance. We have two legs. We are symmetrical. We have two arms, two ears. The whole, if we took the human being and drew a line straight down from the top to the bottom, you'll find that you have a system of balance, that you go vertically or even when you go from front to back and back to front, right to left, you're looking at balance. And that balance, it creates a symbol of a cross, which is a universal symbol that indicates universality. Now, Quran itself comes to give man balance and direction, and we talk about in our prayers, Sirat al-Mustaqim, being upright and balanced. Plumb, we call it plumb in engineering, we call it plumb, vertical. And we call going out, we call that level. We use that term a lot of times. Be straight with me, man. Upright, straight, Sirat. Level with me, please. Level with me. So the terminology that we use even reflects justice. You see. And what we're witnessing today is that we have two groups of people who, because of imbalance, has caused a detrimental effect upon the whole world, just like COVID, you see. And what happens is that people are calling for two states solution. And I'm saying to myself, it's already two states. Two states of mind. One mind wants to dominate, and the other one wants to have the world to say, come rescue me from this domination. Mm-hmm. And you see the effects of a people who are poor and a people who have the support of the rich and powerful corporation system, where people who see injustice can't speak because their mouths are connected to their money or their pocketbook. Yeah. Their money is connected to the pocketbook. So they won't give just balance to those who are being brutalized. And these people who are being brutalized are experiencing trauma, and trauma really disturbs the balance of the human being. So when we talk about two state solutions, two states of mind already exist, and in the sense that one state is in balance to the other, will not give justice to the other. And as a result of that, you got trauma. And language is the thing that moves the ideas. Language is the transportation of ideas. And when ideas, when the language has been corrupted, you get corrupted results. So when we talk about balance and justice, it all comes to even the climate now. The climate becomes imbalanced, like you said, during the COVID, and it will adjust itself to give justice by the will and purpose of the Creator.
Yeah.
Automatically will kick in.
Yeah, and we, you know, and saying that, that being said, we expect, you know, sometimes we see tragedy, and it is tragedy, a lot of it, and we wonder why is this, but out of that tragedy, we expect good to come. We expect our Creator to bring about a lot of good from these tragic times. So, Michael, please share some thoughts with us, if you would.
Thinking about the similarity between the opening of the book, Quran, and the verse that says, show us the straight way. We're asking the Creator, Almighty God, to show us his intent, because his intent is that way that is straight, and it's going, again, there's a trajectory. It's going somewhere. The world was not just brought into being for aimless movement. There is a movement towards an end, towards an intent from the very time that the creation came out of nothing. There's an intent. And then the Lord's Prayer, speaking again to Almighty God's intent, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we've talked about how you look out into the heaven, you see order, you see purpose, you see an expansion, a continuing growth of creation, but without any kind of real disruption, you know, that it's going to where God intends it in its expansion, its growth, but without the kind of disorder that we see in human relationships. And, you know, we talk about a lot of approaches to color consciousness, race, and these are constructs, language constructs of human beings. And the design is to have greater influence over the resources and greater influence over the relationships of human beings. But when we go into scripture and see the common humanity, that common humanity is something that we can grow peace and justice within. You know, we come into this world with the same potential for language. You know, a baby, you know, the young mind can learn Chinese and several other languages along with English. It has that capacity given to it by the Creator. And there are other capacities that God has put in us that we work to bring out to see the excellence that the Creator has put in us. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, let's see if we have any callers in the queue at this time. We want to invite our callers to press 1, come into the queue and talk on this topic, share with us some thoughts. If you have any questions, we'd be glad to entertain those questions. This idea, Allah has created us for justice, you know, and when we look at creation, in the beginning, as the language is given in the Quran, there was a question whether the human being, this human creation, would be a creation that would shed blood. And this was in the origin of the creation, a question of the angels who served Allah without question. And we could see that in terms of forces in creation, you know, that works to warm the planet, to cool the planet, to bring the winds, to move the clouds, the rains, et cetera, et cetera. We call these are forces in our religious thinking are angels. These are Allah's controls that regulate and keep this creation in balance, as the professor brought, which is a very powerful idea for life, that balance, that Allah has these forces in creation that does that. And but the human being with free will is able to change the course of these things temporarily, change the course of them. But we know that in the end, the concept of balance, the justice, and, you know, they use balance, the scale of justice. You see the two hanging baskets on that scale where you can put some weight on one side and it needs to equal out. That's that balance that we are talking about, and that's used in the legal term for justice. So, Professor, please share some thoughts with us. And if we don't have any callers in the queue, Michael, check out callers. And then, Michael?
We have two callers, yes, sir.
Okay, Professor, let's check our callers. Then we want to look at this concept. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
Yes, this is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. And I extend the greetings of peace to everyone. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Alaikum salam. Welcome, amen.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. We are speaking of language. Michael has consistently expressed the idea of oppressive language, and that language has an origin, and it is tied to a higher knowledge. When we say, we read, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we look up to the skies. But Imam Muhammad has shared with us the word for sky is Samai. Not Jannah, not heaven. It's the skies. So what is really being said here? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Imam Muhammad has shared with us the heavens is referring to the educated religious leadership that have given the world baby language in relationship to the revealed word of Almighty God, that they have given them a misguided concept of religious language, but they themselves, they understand, they know the meaning, the true meaning of these words, true meaning of the signs and symbols, but they keep it among themselves. They don't educate the regular worshiper. Now, an example of this is when Christ Jesus, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, when he was questioned by what is called the Sanhedrin at that time, the Jewish leadership, And he was expressing the knowledge at the high levels of the religious order. And they were shocked. They was questioning themselves, how did he get this? How did he, he's from out of Nazareth. Can any good come out of Nazareth? In other words, Nazareth was the slums at that time. Yeah. And they were amazed that he could speak at their level.
Yeah.
So when we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that that special knowledge be shared on earth and not just among the rich and powerful religious leadership. So I'll stop right there. But Sinai means sky.
Yeah.
You know, that's... So I'll just stop right there. But in reference to heaven, the religious leadership, they know what we know. They do.
Yeah.
And we're educating them on what they don't know. But it's one thing to know a thing, but it's another thing to apply it evenly across the board with equality. I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you. Excellent broadcast.
Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you for pointing that out. And, you know, and this is the importance of media. This is another thing that we are witnessing. We are witnessing a very distorted report when we allow the powerful, the rich and powerful, are those who seek dominance to control the ear of the community. I thought about that when you were, ma'am, you were speaking, that how powerful that is for distorting the truth. You know, we've seen a study movement where powerful interests have taken over the media with the complicity of our government officials, you know, allowing, it used to be such things as the right for broadcast. And I know, Michael, you have more information on this freedom of information and all these things that we used to have access to, even television airtime. Now we have C-SPAN, and that's about it. We don't have that free access to the airwaves anymore. So let's get our other caller, and then we want to entertain some of these thoughts, really. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Sorry for the delay.
They signed off. I mean, they left the queue, man.
Okay.
We invite the author to press one.
So, Professor, share some thoughts on this, if you would, and any other thoughts.
Yeah, I'd like to reference a statement made in the Quran concerning how these people who are more inclined towards the domain of evil than they are towards the domain of human life. And in the Quran, it's talked about in the chapter of Toba, which is the chapter referred to as repentance, and in the 30th verse, it talks about after the how perverted their minds are. They have taken the rabbis, their monks, and I would also, in my own thinking, imams, as well as Christ, Son of Mary, for their lords beside God. Although they have been bidden to worship none but the one God, save whom there is no deity, the one who is utterly remote in his limitless glory from anything to which they may ascribe a share in his divinity. They want to extinguish, and this is a point that I want to make, they want to extinguish God's guiding light with their utterances. But God will not allow this to pass, for he has willed to spread his light in all its fullness, however hateful this may be to all who deny the truth. And God speaks the truth. So here we find that this is a constant battle of trying to keep, you know, there's a saying, you're going to keep me in the dark on this subject. In other words, you won't shed light on this, on the truth of a subject. You would rather keep the people in the dark and give them the language that would benefit their plan and design. And like the term terrorists, they started using that term and applying it for every ill gain that they wanted to achieve. So the people are always working under the realm of fear factor. Okay. You buy insurance because you're afraid that something will happen and it'll destroy, or you won't have resources available for you to gain your property back. You fear a police officer, or you fear being stopped when you see the lights. Fear. You fear death, and you give death the position of a god that you worship, that you fear death, rather than fearing displeasing the creator of the heavens and the earth that created life and death. You see? These are used to take away the enthusiasm of being progressive. When you fear something, you're not progressive. You're not free thinking. You're always encapsulated in a shell that prevents your growth and development. So this is what, when we talk about not having balance and not making progress, these are the language inhibitants that are provided for people who don't have faith, or who can easily be manipulated by corrupting words, and words make people.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Professor, for that. Michael, we're going to circle back. Let's take a station break here. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We are talking about how Scripture, the Quran in particular, has addressed this concept of justice. And we know that it's very prevalent in our society, in the law. What they call the ainals of justice turn slowly, et cetera, et cetera. They have language about these things, time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says a day in the reckoning, your reckoning, is as 1,000 years in the reckoning of Allah in his way of looking at this creation. So this creation has existed millions of years. They're still trying to figure out when it started. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. You listen to AM 360, number one Islamic station, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. We'll be right back.
I'm an American Muslim, and I have the freedom to say just about whatever I want. And that's a great blessing for my personal intellect, and I hope for the group intellect. I have a free speech right, and I'm proud of that right. But let me ask you, just because I have the right to say a thing, does it mean it's right to say it? Citizenship has its responsibility. When we speak, we should speak our mind, but we can also speak from our hearts. And when we do both, maybe it will help us all become better communicators and more responsible citizens. Even when we disagree, we can still be agreeable. Let's use our free speech wisely, because our expression can help or hurt. A public service announcement from AM 360 and CWSC.
Don't give up the faith. Keep your...
The idea of democracy gives every citizen a say in their government.
So, Michael, did we have a little break?
In order for this government to work, people have to turn out. People have to show an interest. People have to vote. This is what we're hearing throughout the nation. And that is really what time it is, family. So I'm saying that to say participatory, meaning what? It's not about us electing leaders. It is not good enough to just show up to the poll, put somebody in office, and don't hold them accountable. Participatory democracy. Let your voice be heard.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And we're back.
Wonderful. Yes, wonderful concept. Do we have any callers, Michael, in the queue?
Not at this time. We invite the callers to press 1 to come into the conversation.
Please share some thoughts you may have, Mike, please.
Thank you, Imam. Those two public service announcements are important. Oftentimes, because of the environmental or the cultural influences, they kind of produce an inertia, a feeling within that we're not able to do anything about these serious critical issues that we're dealing with or that we have in our life. But, you know, the scripture comes to tell us about our obligation. You know, the suggestion, your soul is not going to leave you alone if the urgings of the spirit of the soul are telling you there's something that you can do. God Most High says in the Quran, your own souls obligate you. There's an obligation that God has put in us to pay back the debt that comes with this life that we have. There's a debt, there's an obligation. Whether we are religious or not, there's an obligation that we were cared for in our helplessness. And so the very process speaks to our conscience and says, I've got to do something. You know, I was cared for when I couldn't care for myself. I've got to do something to try to make my family, my community, and the world life better. And how I do it, well, if I don't know, ask somebody. And not that he's a somebody, but ask God who created us. And I'll stop there.
Yeah. As you were thinking about that, I've been in the car with my friend. He likes to go to the coffee place. And here while in the line, we'll pull up to the window, and the person doing the service will say, oh, your coffee's taken care of. The person who went before, he paid for your coffee. And they call this concept paying forward, paying it forward. You know, here's another concept that's very interesting, that the human beings feel that they need to do something for us, that they can be kind to us, that they can be helpful even to others. And, you know, this type of thing is always, this is the beauty when there's a bad thing going on, of corruption, there's also another picture to be parallel with that. So, Professor, please share some thoughts, if you will.
This idea of, I was looking at, you know, how things get out of hand and start, and I was researching, this idea, how you take people, religion is a way of life, you know, that should have an excellent outcome. And when we look at how these matters come about, such as the conflict in Palestine, I go back and I look at the history and I see that this word Zionism, it's not the same as Judaism or the religion of the Jews. It's not the same. And these terms were coined by European writers such as Nathan Beerbohm and Theodore Herz. And that was in 1885, way before the way that the Jews were treated by the Germans. And I see that, you know, when the Germans were treating the Jews almost parallel to the way that the Israelis are treating the Palestinians, and then you look at the events, historical events that led up to what we are looking at now, you can see that this was a people looking for land, and they said, well, this land has no people, and we have people, and we should take this land. Just from the fact that what happened in Europe, the Europeans from who came and began to take the lands for the Native Americans, having the same logic of divine destiny, and having this doctrine that gave them and was supported by the religious institutions that say that if they're not Christians, then you have a right to take whatever you take measures that however you make. And then when you say, well, okay, there are other places that you could have settled, but Palestine, because of the religious connection, they saw it was perfect to establish a independent free state for just Jews, an ethnic state. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you now start developing apartheid. So the first Zionist Congress was first established in Basel, Switzerland, in 1897. And then the idea of the Balfour Declaration, a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine, was established by the English. So you had, and then the first, and what happened in 1948 was the first conflict. It was a massacre. It was they called Zionist paramilitary group, killed hundreds of Palestinians and Arabs in the small town called Bir Yassin, a village near Jerusalem. That was the first big conflict there, killing hundreds of people. So now you start this conflict, and you're not solving anything because you want your way. You want your way. You want to have it. And then you tie it in with religion. Now you got, that's why a lot of Jewish people demonstrated at the Capitol last week against the way that the Israelis are treating treating the Arabs, and the way they were just destroying, and that's, you know, and that's, that will never go back to the Palestinians. All of that destruction will never go back to the people who lived there, just like the buildings and the homes in Jerusalem, in East Jerusalem. Those people will never get their homes back because of this kind of idea that I don't think they'll blame it on God. Say God gave this land to me, and I'm saying, what, God is not in the real estate business. He already told you, thou shalt not steal. Look at the Ten Commandments. Just follow the Ten Commandments, and that'll make it clear to who is just and who is right, who is righteous in their property. We know that that's a sacred. Your property is sacred. Your life is sacred. These are real strict concerns among people of faith. That your property, your life, your family, all of these things are sacred. And when you desecrate those sacred items, then you're going to have a big problem in the future. And this is what is happening. And until people who have the means, material means, I was very disappointed by the reaction that our government had towards this in terms of supporting certain things and not really bringing out what you're supporting and what you should support based upon our Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When we apply it to the situation in Palestine, how can that be applied? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and which comes out of the Quran language, the Quranic language, in terms of how Allah, God, created mankind to be free to earn mankind's dignity, each individual earning its own dignity. So that's I'll stop there.
Yeah,
we have a conversation.
Says God created and he gave balance. You talked about that before. Balance. Balance.
Balance.
God created and gave balance. Yes. Let's go to our caller. Please call us. State your name and where you're calling from.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. This is the brother Amin. Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com.
Yes, sir. Welcome, brother Amin.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, brothers. My question is, how did not Israel, or the government of Israel, or the military of Israel, or the intelligence services Israel not know that something like that was going to happen in the very beginning, that Hamas was going to invade them and kill up a lot of people with guns and bombs and bullets? I heard on one radio show that Israel actually gets $153 billion a year somehow through I guess military equipment or something somewhere. But she put out a figure of $153 billion a year. So they got sophisticated apparatus. Maybe a certain amount of the population in Palestine is maybe informants. They probably got them over the barrel where they inform, and then they got all these. I know in 2023 they have sophisticated listening devices, and how did they not know that? It's kind of like 911. They said a lot of people just don't buy it. Someone sacrificed 3,000 or so people, but look at the result of 911. 911 allowed the West to go in and invade about 5 or 7 countries and take their oil, occupy their land, and take their gold and everything. You know what I mean? Libya and the other countries that were attacked by a provocation by someone that allowed the West and America and Israel, to take all this, to steal. So something, I'm looking for something that, they say this term qui bono, meaning who does it benefit? Who does it benefit? And that's my question. I just don't understand it. It's not logical to me. I mean, how they allowed this to happen. You know what I mean? If they did allow it, or did they actually know it's going to happen and promoted it and didn't tell nobody? And I'll leave it right there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, great question. I've heard many people talk about that in terms of the intelligence apparatus that's the powerful control to be able to survey and keep up with what's going on
around the world, global positioning sensors, you name it, GPS. Well, those who are maybe not aware, they, you know, you can put on your GPS and it directs you exactly to where you want to go. So, yes, very, very good question. I mean, thanks for that thought-provoking question. So, Mike, any other callers in the queue?
Not at this time.
So, Professor, you have any comments you want to make on that? Mike, how is our time, by the way?
We're looking at 20 minutes at least, 20 minutes plus.
So, Professor, please share with us some thoughts you may have on that question of being mentioned or anything else you want to talk about.
If you look at the objective from the very beginning, if you look at the idea in the beginning, the term Zionism and the term of a land that was for the Jewish state or Jewish people. Now, how you get it? Now you can see the gradual receding of people's property. Now, they might, like I said, whatever happens, whether it is planned or spontaneous, usually you will get a variation of give and take, but in most cases, everything is taken. Now, they will never get that land back that's been bombarded. It will go into a kind of like a demilitarized zone, and the next thing you know, years later, it will be cleared, and then it will be buildings would be built dealing with security, and then you'll have demilitarized zone, and those people would be protected almost like a wall, and they will invite settlers to build, and they will get money from our government. And from the European government to build housing. Now, when you look at, I visited Poland, Warsaw, and I saw the area where they had the ghettos in Warsaw. And soon you saw that the Nazis were taking people from the ghettos and putting them into the concentration camps, and there they did their dastardly deeds. So I had a chance to go to Auschwitz to see, and to Dachau in Germany. So I said to myself, I said, how can anybody persuade? Shouldn't be some people who persuade how these human beings are being treated, and didn't say anything, didn't do anything.
Mm.
But look what is happening now; it's the reverse. And I can't understand why many Jewish people should be very vocal about what is going on and how it's being performed. And look, most of these young people are being used as cannon fodder to gain the overall objective. So human life is not a concern for either for those people who are whose objective is to take the land and to reach their objective of for some reason other than it's always money involved. Anytime there's a war, there's money involved. Everywhere you go, there's never been a war that money was not involved. And the poor always suffer because. The Palestinian people don't have international support. They don't have an international support. They say, well, the Arab states. They're only interested in their own self. They're not religious people. They don't follow religion. They don't follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. If they were to follow Muhammad the Prophet, the footsteps of Muhammad the Prophet, that this would not exist.
That's true.
This would not exist.
That's true. It's not religious. It's not religious, that's for
sure.
That's so,
right.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Professor. Thank you so much. We're going to take another pause for the calls, and then we'll get back to our listeners. If you want to come into the queue and make some comments, ask some questions, press 1 on your phone. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we'll welcome three American Muslim leaders. First, Imam Hananiah Shabazz, Imam of the Zayd Ibn Harith Islamic Center, and national talk show host for the Criminal Justice Reform and Breaking the Habit weekly broadcast at American Muslim 360. Next, we'll have Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. He'll be talking about his new book, Here and Hereafter, Perceptions of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And last but not least, American Muslim pioneer and Imam DeLacy Umar Phillips. He's host of the new program, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We'll be talking with Imam DeLacy about group economics and collective empowerment. Join us this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Community Buzz, AM 360's weekly magazine show, where we ask, have you heard? Every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, we're back. We're back again. I'm sorry. I was muted. I was asking you if you were muted. We're back. We have a caller. At 213, please press 1 to go out of the queue. Imam DeLacy, are you muted as well? Professor, are you? Is your mic open?
Yes, sir. Yes, my mic is open. Yes, my mic is open. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry again. We're back.
314.
Do we have any callers? Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
314.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam DeLacy Umar, and to you, Michael Amin, and to Professor Rabbani. Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah. I was just enjoying the conversation, the topic, and didn't have any intention of saying anything but just listening. But a spirit came over me to say something that I think has to be said and needs to be said. And one of those things is that for the human being, we get our true picture from true scripture. And this is very important because we can look at the historical context, but I think to look at the whole picture, we have to look at how the human being has accepted or rejected God's message and guidance. And then we see what can and will occur as a result of accepting or rejecting God's guidance. And so the Jews are mentioned in Scripture, a certain segment of Jews, not all of them, how they rejected God's guidance and how they saw themselves and see themselves as gods or as the children of God and seeing God in a misperceptive way. And then Christianity being taught as it is now, has been received, was given by also a Jew. And so America, many European countries, Great Britain, matter of fact, have accepted this. And so the allegiance goes to them without even considering what God's message is. And I think this is something that has to be, this has to be brought up and has to be talked about. You see, that is saying perception is reality, even if it's a misperception that becomes a reality and other people can buy into that. But the only reality and the real truth is what God reveals to us in terms of who we are and how we are to treat other human beings in terms of being just and fair in that regard. I could say more, but I think, you know, I said enough, you know, in that regard, but I think that when we have the discussion, we have to go back to the mindset and the disposition and also the behavior that we're seeing to get an understanding of why we see what we're seeing. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You know, Professor alluded to that when he said, just follow the Ten Commandments. Just look at the Ten Commandments. You know, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's property. You know, there's so much guidance in the scriptural language that we all adhere to in various ways, that our Creator has really put powerful language in the creation to keep us in check, to remind us and warn us. Allah talks about it in the Quran that He's covered every kind of similitude, but you know, said, but in most cases the man is given to dispute, to argue, or to be debating and rationalizing and trying to rationalize injustice and et cetera, given to argument. It's given to argument. So, Michael, any comments you'd like to share? We have any other callers in the queue?
Not at this time, ma'am. I would like to say that we've got about 10 more minutes for the callers to press 1 to share. I would like to say that the foundational issue we find in Scripture, particularly the Holy Quran, where God shows us you have two servants of God. One is freshly coming onto the scene, Father Adam, and the other one has been around for a while, Iblis. But when the Creator in his wisdom makes the decision, this new servant is going to be the one that he's going to give the responsibility to. The earlier servant, Iblis, has a problem with that. And the problem is, you know, foundationally empathy, the inability to identify with this individual. So Iblis says, well, I'm looking at myself and I see myself as being better than what you're producing. And that's the problem with many relationships, not being able to see our commonality and putting a person in a frame and objective frame. They're not as good as you, that you're better, you know, you're more qualified and the like. And that's the source of the great harm. You know, we call the shar not evil, but the potential for harm. And that harm can become evil in its behavior. But the idea of how we harm ourselves and harm one another when we don't see our common humanity or our common interests, you know, our common purpose here on earth, and I'll stop there.
So important, so important. The superiority, of one over another. Professor, any final comments you'd like to share as we wind down this talk?
Yeah, I would just like to say that from the from a people who have been blessed to be given the opportunity to bring light to the world, and a people who have demonstrated very excellent intellectual achievements. The events that are occurring in lands with that are being supported by these very same people, I like to coin a phrase from Frederick Douglass. It says that you claim democracy, you claim religion, you claim the highest level of civilizations, but your behavior and the way you have performed and dealt with people would shame a nation of savages. And that's all I've got to say today.
Yes, and I thank you for that reminder that this is a historic struggle. This hasn't been just, and I want to highlight in my final comments as well the historic nature of this particular attitude. We went, Brother Mark went back to scripture, and Brother Michael back to scripture. You know how the arrogance of the created beings feeling superiority over one. We've struggled with white supremacy, all type of false concepts for years and years and years. How, you know, and for us, the dynamic African-American soul should automatically, and that I'm coining a phrase from our Imam, Imam Muhammad, the dynamic spirit of the African-American soul, should be very repulsive to us. And it should have caused disturbances in our gene bank. You know, and when you brought up Frederick Douglass, it just brought me back to the historical picture in which he spoke those words. The same terrible circumstances where one people wanted to lord over another and extract the wealth and progress of others, take from others spirit, soul, human existence, just to make progress in the world, you know. And we are looking at that situation very, very knowledgeable that they are on stolen property. They're on stolen land where they are perpetrating these crimes, justifying someone struggling to get their land back to be the real villain. And they are steadily stealing property. They are thieves. That's what it is, really, just straight out. That's just all it is. So, Michael, any final comments? How much time we have? I didn't want to get too emotional with that, but when you talked about that terrible experience we had, I was in Mississippi with my grandmother, a little boy, very small, right around the time Emmett Till was murdered in Mississippi. And my grandmother was sharecropping, and she had worked a year to bring in a crop. And when she went to get compensated, they gave her, the plantation owner gave her $9 or something of that nature. My grandmother looked at that money. She said, "This is not my money." And he told her what it, out the side of his mouth. She used to use that expression of talking out the side of your mouth. Are you trying to cheat me? My grandmother told him, "This is not my money, and I'm going to leave here, and I'm not going to leave at night." So you couldn't even get off of them plantations back there in Mississippi. You know, and I'll tell you his name. His name was Archie Williams. I remember it very well. Archie Williams in Moorhead, Mississippi, on the plantation. So, and I was what, 5 years, 6 years old, something like that. It tipped in 1955. I was born in 47, 7 years old maybe. So, you know, this is a historic
thing that's been going on for years and years. Michael, final comments and close us out in prayer, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. But I was going to leave it with your comment, but, you know, it goes beyond land stealing. Stealing of a person's humanity is the worst kind of crime when you see them as less than human. That is beyond savagery in terms of, a nation that claims what America claims about itself. But the point is that it was claimed, but it still has to come into fruition through the struggles and interactions of human beings. Human beings struggle to overcoming these lies, and I'll stop there.
How's our time, Michael?
We've got 4 minutes plus a little grace time.
Any callers? And I'm not sure about grace time because we have these other programs that come on. I'm not sure about them. We had a little conflict last week with the programming situation. Go ahead, Mike.
That wasn't on us. That was the platform that the brother was having trouble getting in, and he was unable to get in. I misspoke.
I guess his concern was that they were going to simulcast from 11 till 12, I believe, his program as well.
He couldn't get in at his original time, which was 10 o'clock. So that was
I apologize to him if there was some conflict on our part, but I didn't want to just deviate from our program and not knowing that he was going to be simulcast with our program. So I was.
Well, we got it resolved. Alhamdulillah.
Very good. I appreciate that, Mike. Thanks. Yeah. So look, thank you all for tuning in, and we won't take extra time. I'm at this conference in Orlando here, and I need to get back on my station. So we appreciate you tuning in to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. And Michael, please close us out with prayer and in any other way you'd like to finish our little minutes, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, and thank you.
Yes, and we see a couple of callers that have come into the queue, but we're out of time. So inshallah, next week. We make a closing dua. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Thank you. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.